And welcome to the Sportscast, December 27th, 2018. If you haven't yet, please subscribe and hit the notification buttons in all our channels, YouTube, Periscope, iTunes. Please follow us. And if you're in iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously on the search engines. And I appreciate you very much if you do. College football bowl preview part 3 is underway. We had part 1 yesterday with Ryan Krista. We had part 2 this morning with Tyler. And right now we have Justin Riley to top it off. Of course, he comes from an Alabama point of view. Tyler came from an Oregon point of view, but also very objective. He looked at the games a little bit more objectively, who's going to win realistically. And Ryan as well. But Justin has an Alabama angle, more of the insight, the favorites to win the whole thing. And no further ado, Justin Riley, welcome to the Sportscast.
Man, glad to be here on the biggest game of the season. Glad to be the, I guess, icing on the cake, as it was for the three-part series of the College Football Bowl prediction show.
Yes, yes. You know, big game this weekend. Justin's really pumped, also nervous at the same time. We'll start there. How do you feel about this game? What are you hearing about it? Are you pretty confident that, you know, Alabama could win this game, knowing that Oklahoma's defense is not the best?
Let's see. Am I confident that Alabama can win the game? Yes, I believe Alabama can win the game. Now, I don't think it's going to be quite a sure thing like everybody pretty much has written it off as being, you know. I've been hearing analysts after analysts, including Skip Bayless here lately, saying that basically, you know, this is going worry about watching this game. This is march on towards the national championship game. And I think that these people cannot be any more wrong. Oklahoma is here for a reason. You know, they are number 4 in the country, not by mistake.
And they got a Heisman winner.
Because someone got bored one day. Yeah, you know, not because someone got bored one day and said, hey, let's see what happens if we do this here. You know, Oklahoma's got one of the best offenses in the nation. They have the Heisman Trophy winner who threw for over 4,000 yards, rushed for over 800 yards, had a slew of touchdowns that's just unreal. They're good. You know, they're very deserving of being there. So they're not some Arkansas State team that is just, you know, blessed to be there by circumstance. You know, they earned it.
And which also, you know, like one of the main things that Oklahoma is known for is Kyler Murray. He is the Heisman winner. Is that what Oklahoma only got?
It's not all they've got, man. They've got, like I said, one of the best offenses in the nation. They have a great receiving core. Anyone in the Big 12 has seen, the biggest question to me is will Brown be able to go? He suffered a pretty devastating injury in that game against West Virginia. So the big question is he going to be able to go? If he is, to what extent is he going to be able to contribute? Another thing is, you know, depending on how he does or how he doesn't do, you know, we're basically looking at the majority of the offense falling, of course, not just on Kyler Murray, but also Cee Lamb, who's the other big-time receiver. He had 1,049 yards. Lee Morris, and then their 6'4 tight end, Grant Calcaterra. So they've got the talent, but they had better options with Marquise Brown being healthy. So it's going to be interesting to see how that develops. Now, they're really good. Now, as you mentioned earlier, this is no surprise to everyone who's a college football fan. OU has one of the worst defenses in the country. Matter of fact, in total defense, they're ranked 124th out of 130 teams in Division One. They're ranked number 130 out of 130 in passing yards allowed. So translated, they're awful. However, I think that they've been hearing that all season, and they've definitely been hearing this coming into the Alabama game. And they're also hearing that they have no remote chance of winning. So I think they're going to be playing better than they have the entire season. But, yeah, on paper, they've got a horrible defense.
One of the other things that that was going on this week is that Nick Saban suspended three Alabama players this past week, starting left guard Deontay Brown, Kendrick James, he's like the tight end, and offensive lineman Elliott Baker. And they did not make the trip to Miami for Saturday's game, which we found out actually on Christmas Eve night. How much of an impact would that be for Alabama?
Well, Deontay Brown is a starter, so that's going to be a huge, huge impact. As far as the other two guys, they're backups. They really don't play a pivotal role in the whole grand scheme of things, but Deontay Brown is one of the solid anchors of the offensive line. Now, Lester Cotton will be stepping in for him. Lester Cotton actually did start before Deontay Brown came in. He lost that position to Deontay in October. But Lester Cotton definitely is worthy of carrying that starting position role. So will there be much of a drop-off? That remains to be seen. But it really is very unfortunate and very stupid as well. This is the biggest game of the season. This is the game that determines whether or not they get to play for a national title. And the three of these guys decide to go off and do whatever it was that's undisclosed and cause their team to face some hardships. So Nick Saban didn't disclose exactly what it was that they did. All he did say in a recent interview was that there are some NCAA violations, and because of that, they are not playing in not only this game, but should they advance, they will not play in the following game.
Yeah, so they're out for this this season. He did not elaborate, of course. Deontay Brown is a sophomore. He has started five Alabama's past six games, including the SEC championship against Georgia. He had been dealing with a turf toe injury, but was making progress. Baker has not appeared in a game this season. James has appeared in five games, but has not made a reception. I guess the left tackle is the only concern, but I think you're saying the backup should be enough.
Absolutely. Lester Cotton is a very capable guy. He has done a lot for us in the past and definitely worthy of taking on that position. And he's not some newcomer to the team that's never played a snap and is going to be playing on a stage that's too big for him. He knows how to handle himself, and I have all the confidence that our offensive line is going to have a boost with him in there.
Also, another Alabama team news. Tuao came out yesterday and said that he's 80 to 85% healthy with his ankle. Do you think that would be enough for him to be Tuao again?
Well, enough for him to be Superman again. I'm not really sure, but I think that Tua's going to go out and he's going to give 150% effort. He's going to give it his all. He says that it has not limited him in any way in practices. So that's a good sign. And to be honest with you, I don't think Tua really would tell us if anything was negative, because he's such a great competitor and he's going to go out there regardless. So,
plus having 4 weeks of of break, I mean, was plenty of time to heal. I didn't expect 100%, but I think 80 to 85 sounds about right.
Well, 80-85% Tua Tagovailoa is probably better than a lot of quarterbacks in America's 100%. So we'll take it, and we'll go with that. I mean, he's an excellent player, phenomenal ball player, phenomenal leader, and definitely capable of being the leader of our offense.
He should be performing better than the Georgia game.
I definitely think so. In the Georgia game, he was playing hurt, and just trying to tough it out and just really wasn't playing to his fullest capabilities and to his fullest confidence level either because of that injury. So I fully expect to see a much, much better output from him in this game.
Now for the other game, the Cotton Bowl is playing between Notre Dame and Clemson. Which one do you think will happen? What is your take on that game?
Man, am I seeing things right? Has Notre Dame risen again to be one of the elite teams in college football? Am I seeing that right, Santiago?
I think so. I mean, making to the top four. To the top four, no conference. I think they've made it to the top, which it took longer than people thought.
Well, I mean, we haven't seen a relevant Notre Dame team since what, 2012? Was that right?
I think so. I don't know who was the quarterback
man. Quarterback back then, I forgot his name, but he ended up transferring the next year, went to Florida State, started like a couple of games, and then he lost the starting job. But anyway, that's aside the point. Man, it's great from a college football perspective to see the Fighting Irish back in the thick of things when it comes to the national championship game or contending for the national title. Man, it's awesome stuff, man. Excited to see them there. Just with like Alabama, Clemson is facing some issues with three of their players. The most notable being Dexter Lawrence. Apparently he and the other guys failed random testing and, they apparently ingested some performance enhancing whatevers. And now, they are possibly facing ban right now. They actually have, taken another test because, according to Dexter Lawrence, he's baffled that this could happen and doesn't understand how that showed up in his testing. So it's called Dabo Swinney and the other coaches to request a second testing, results of which will be revealed, I believe, either tonight or tomorrow. So jury's still out on whether or not Dexter Lawrence will be able to play. And Dexter Lawrence is the anchor of that defensive front and also projected to be a top NFL draft pick. So losing him definitely is going to be a little bit of a blow to that Clemson team. A lot of people are already thinking that Clemson's just going to run away with this and it's going to be walking apart. Not so fast, my friend. If you actually look at the stats, they kind of mirror each other. Notre Dame only allows 17.3 points per game, where Clemson allows just under that at 13.7 points per game. So both really good defenses. Not really flashy offenses. Both of them have starting freshmen at the helm. And to be honest with you, I think that's going to be where the game is determined. Both of them are playing at an excellent level. But they've never played at this kind of stage before. So it's going to be worth watching to find out which freshman is going to play like a freshman and which of the two are going to play like a veteran. Now, I think that's going to make a big difference in the outcome. But I also think the experience is a big factor in this as well, with Clemson boasting the better experience of the two. So it's going to be a close game for the majority of the game. It's going to be a slugfest for these offenses. It's going to be a tough treading, I believe, for the running game. Both teams boast great running backs in Dexter Williams and Travis Etienne. I think that they're going to be slowed up a little bit just because of how good these defenses are. However, I think Clemson is going to eventually wear them down, and I think in the later part of the game, you're going to see Travis Etienne get some running room. But I look for this to be a close contest, and I look for Clemson to win this game in a close one.
Clemson and Alabama is what it sounds like.
Well, I hadn't talked about Alabama yet. Are we waiting to the end for that, or are we going to go ahead and do that now?
We'll do that for game predictions. Obviously, we don't think We don't think you'll choose Oklahoma, but, you know, they do have a Heisman.
You don't know me. I can be objective, Santiago. I can, you know, I'm not going to be that guy who wears his team-colored glasses just because he has to, because he has to represent.
And other college football news, Justin Herbert decides to stay for another year for his senior season for the Oregon Ducks. What are your thoughts? Was that a good decision or not?
Well, I think, first of all, a lot of people saw this coming anyway. Was it a good decision? You know, it's really 50-50. He can either greatly improve his stock or he can greatly downgrade his stock, like Browning over at Washington. It really depends on what kind of help he's going to have from his skill players next season. He really does have a great opportunity to do something. To be honest with you, I think this draft should have been the draft he came out in, because there's nearly not that many attractive names coming in the hat, so to speak, to draw from. The next year's draft will be more quarterback heavy, so he may find himself in the middle of a long list of people waiting in line. So it really could go either way. To be honest with you, I think this is the year he should have come out.
Yeah, it's a whole lot of talk that now that he's going to wait another year, the 2020 will be a heavy quarterback year. People thought that we won't see that ever again in a few years, but I guess we might relive another 2018 NFL draft, you know, where we saw Baker Mayfield and also Sam Darnold and also Josh Allen and also Rosen. So we'll see, you know, we can see Tua, we can see Jake Fromm, we can see Herbert, these players that are, you know, also Jacob Eason. Now, do you think Dwayne Haskins should declare?
I absolutely think he should, man. He came off the best season out of any quarterback to ever play at Ohio State in the history of the school. He posted insane numbers. He had 4,580 passing yards and 47 touchdowns. I don't really see how you improve on that. And now that Herbert has withdrawn his name from the field, he's going to be probably the top quarterback in the draft. And I think he'll probably be a top 10 pick. So I think this is the time for him to capitalize on that.
It's time to cash out.
Absolutely, man.
Well, other than that,
things can change at a drop of a hat.
Exactly. And even Kyler Murray, he actually, you know, there's talk about him joining the Major League Baseball, but he could join the NFL draft. He could, you know, change his mind.
There's maybe a remote chance, but to be honest with you, man, he signed a fat contract with the A's, and I don't foresee him passing that up.
I didn't know that.
And then, two, he's not very tall by quarterback standards, so a lot of NFL teams would probably shy away from him in the early rounds, so it probably wouldn't be much of a benefit to him to do it.
Right.
But then again, he may just, the competitive side of him may, you know, want him, make all him to do it.
It's true. He definitely, good point on like the size issue. You know, I think he probably saw that coming. He could probably, you know, he probably said, I can make as much or more playing baseball. And, you know, baseball, it's a pretty lax sport. You know, there's less injuries and you're able to play longer as well.
Absolutely.
Anyways, I know our show is going to cut down a little bit short today because of your time, but are you ready for game predictions?
Absolutely.
Let's start with the Pinstripe. Well, actually, no, Pinstripe Bowl is going on right now, so we can't predict that. I think Wisconsin was winning. Music City Bowl, Purdue versus Auburn.
Oh, speaking of the Pinstripe Bowl, did you know that the Miami Hurricanes actually boast the top team in the country when it comes to pass defense?
Did not know that. Good job. Good stat.
Yeah. Yeah, number one in the nation when it comes to defending the pass. I didn't know that either until recently.
Well, they're not doing well according to the score I'm seeing, but
okay.
Maybe
well,
they just,
up until now, but
yeah, maybe they're checked out. Like Tyler says, a lot of these teams are checked out. Like I mean, these bowl games has, I mean, you know, people have no, there's no value in them anymore. Like, if I'm not in the playoffs, what's the point of playing?
Right, another reason to expand the playoffs, but
yeah,
well, let's go ahead.
It sounds like the argument is really popping up. Anyways, Music City Bowl, Purdue against your arch enemy Auburn.
Hey, careful how you finish that sentence there, buddy.
I was gonna say friend, but no, it's your distant cousin Auburn, I guess.
Well, in bowl season, man, we're all family, so you know, got to pull for the SEC as a whole. Yeah. Some folks are actually predicting Purdue to pull the upset. To be honest with you, I don't think Purdue is ready for this Auburn defense. Auburn still boasts one of the better defenses in the country. And even though their offense does not play quite up to par, which has caused some teams to score more in the defense than they really should have, don't let it, any second guesses come, man. They're really good. I think it's going to be low scoring affair. Purdue's quarterback actually has passed for a ton of yards this year, but I don't think he's faced a defense like they're going to face against Auburn. So I believe Auburn's going to win this game. It's going to be close.
War Eagle, West Virginia versus Syracuse for the Bulls.
Well, this actually would have been a bowl worth watching had Will Grier decided that he was going to take his toys and go to the NFL
That's
draft.
That's right.
So,
he is sitting out for this game. That is correct. The stock value has lowered.
It would have been most definitely. Man, it would have been one of the better games to watch against this surging Syracuse team had he decided to play, but he's not. So it's one of those games that you might casually glance at, but not really watch intently. I think because of Will Grier being absent and not knowing a whole lot about his heir apparent, I think Syracuse is the better team, and I think they're going to continue their winning ways and get a W against West Virginia.
Syracuse has it pretty easy for them to go orange. Iowa State versus Washington State for the Alamo Bowl in Texas, of course.
Well, it's kind of an interesting team matchup to watch. Not really exciting, but
I mean, Washington State had a good season. I think they had a great season.
They had a very good season. I think Gardner Minshew had a phenomenal season. Was probably one of the top passers in the country when it comes to yards, because
and
I think
probably
he threw
one of the tough mustache
down.
Guys too.
Greatest mustache in college football, definitely, without question, brother. It's like Borat with pads. Anyway.
But can they win with that mustache?
I believe the mustache adds a couple more touchdowns. So, yes, they do win.
Washington State wins. The Peach Bowl. Big game, I think. Florida versus Michigan. Bush is not playing. He's sitting out for that game.
My gosh. Every one of these little bowl games has a little asterisk in it because of these
one player
deciding to go to the NFL. Yeah, one player, but still.
They're doing that on purpose for the 8-team playoffs. I know they're making like these narratives.
Yes, everybody is conspiring together to get the 8-team playoffs. So let's do it already. Now, it's going to be interesting to watch to see how Shea Patterson go up against an SEC defense. Florida's got a better defense than what he's seen in the Big Ten this year. And they can generate some offense. That their offensive strength, Michigan's that is found in the running game. And Florida's run defense is one of their strengths. So it's going to have to be on Shea Patterson to win this game. I think he's going to have tough sledding. But the question mark is, what kind of production are we going to get out of Felipe Franks from Florida? Is he going to play good, or is he going to be a bozo? What is it going to be?
We'll find out.
I like Florida in this game.
You know that Michigan was was fourth for a while, and we thought that Alabama was going to face them at the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, we all thought that until the real Michigan showed up against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Now they're in the Peach Bowl.
Quite interesting how the tables turn around really quick in college football. Fiesta Bowl, LSU versus UCF, the team that thinks they're the best in the country.
I think a public service announcement needs to go out to LSU. LSU, on behalf of the SEC and the rest of the country who wants the UCF nonsense to stop, you have one job coming up, and that job is a very important job. Yes, I do realize that Greedy Williams will not be playing because he is opted out for the NFL. And, yes, I do realize your other starting cornerback, Christian Fulton, will not be playing because of an ankle surgery. I understand that. But I do ask that the great linebacker, Devin White, come upon them with great fury and shut UCF the heck up.
You know,
it's time for somebody to do that job. And, yes, LSU, that job has been imparted unto you.
Yeah, which is interesting because this is like, you know, UCF's chance to shine. See if they're able to compete against an SEC team. And, you know, you can't beat any other – I mean, you – like the matchup with LSU is perfect to just, you know, just to prove everyone wrong. But they just – I guess they just don't want to do it.
Well, and if you look at the stats, too, their stats kind of mirror each other. With the exception of LSU, they really don't score as many points as UCF does. But, hey, LSU plays in the SEC. Hey, UCF plays in the Pee Wee League. But it's going to be a really great matchup to watch. Two of the better linebackers in the country, and Devin White and Pat Jasinski, leading their defensive teams against each other, man. That's going to be pretty fun to watch. Now, if UCF had not lost Mackenzie Milton, I believe this would have been a tougher contest for LSU. Dorial Mack will be starting. He had a great game against Memphis in that comeback win, threw for 348 yards and two touchdowns. But again, this is in the American Conference. So it kind of depends on the attitude of LSU. The game is in their hands. UCF has got the me against the world attitude, so they're going to come out ready to play, and they're going to come out to prove something again. LSU has got the better team talent-wise to shut them up. So can LSU do it? Oh, yeah, they can do it. But will they? I think they will, and I think finally we're going to hear this nonsense put to an end. And my timeline on Twitter and other forms of social media will be that much better because of it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I don't think they have much going on, many cards, but we'll see what happens. The Sun Bowl, Stanford versus Pittsburgh.
Nah.
Another mediocre game.
Stanford definitely is not. It really is a mediocre game, and Stanford really has underperformed this year, much to the dismay of a lot of us. Matter of fact, Bryce Love will not be playing. He's opted out for the NFL as well, so that took away any watchability this game had. I believe Pittsburgh should win this one.
Pittsburgh wins the Sun Bowl. Gator Bowl. No, Hollywood Bowl. Northwestern versus Utah.
I think it's going to be a fun game to watch. To see both teams. I think Utah coming out of the Pac-12 is a decent team. I think they're a tough team. But I think Northwestern is definitely the much better team. And Ian Thorson, with the best name in college football quarterback, is going to have a great day against the Utes and lead his team to victory.
Gator Bowl, NC State versus Texas A&M.
Oh, man. Texas A&M really is coming off a high, and I believe they're playing at their best ability right now, but they really have been an inconsistent team this year. So my question is, have they learned from their inconsistencies and mistakes and have moved past that? If so, I believe that Texas A&M will win handily.
Alabama Bowl, Mississippi State versus Iowa.
Man, that game is too early. Mississippi State has drawn the worst luck when it comes to game scheduling in the bowls. They played 11 o'clock last year, too. I believe that Mississippi State has the better, more physical team, and I just don't think Iowa's going to be able to move the ball against that defense.
Citrus Bowl, Kentucky versus Penn State.
Man, this is a pretty big bowl game for old Kentucky, isn't it?
It is. Basketball school, definitely a contender, did well during the rankings. You know, they could win. Penn State.
Kentucky went out and won nine games. I see you, Kentucky. I see. That's pretty big time stuff right there for old Blue there.
We'll see. If it'd be interesting if they did, you know, like if they did, like if they do bad during the basketball season. Now we know where like their resources went to.
Yeah, absolutely. This game is going to be interesting to watch. Kentucky's got a really, really good defense. And Penn State has a good quarterback in McSwirley. It really depends on quarterback play in this game. Can Kentucky's quarterback actually produce some offense and not be one-dimensional? If he's going to be one-dimensional, then Penn State's going to win. But I want to go with old Blue, man, for win number 10.
Rose Bowl game, Washington versus Ohio State.
And this would have been a much better game if Ohio State was playing Georgia. I think this stupid rule of Pac-12 versus Big 12 or whatever agreement they have is junk, because nobody wants to see this. Come on, man. You know, Georgia versus Ohio State would have been a much better game. It would have been the playoff game that wasn't a playoff game.
Ooh, good point. Good point.
However, this is probably going to be the last time that we get to see Dwayne Haskins in an Ohio State uniform. And I think this is one of the reasons to watch this game, to see him close out his career on Ohio State. Interesting numbers here. Washington, they allow 15 points a game. Quietly a good defense, but they're only scoring 26 a game.
Wow.
Now, here's the disparity, Santiago. Ohio State is putting up 43.5 points per game, and they're also putting up 548 total yards per game to Washington's 412. That's a problem for me.
That is. Yeah,
Jake Browning was supposed to have Ohio's own year. He only passed for 2,800 yards this year, whereas Dwayne Haskins pushed the boost button on his Xbox and had a phenomenal year.
What does all this mean?
What does all it mean? I think Ohio State is going to be way too much for Washington. I mean, they've got the better running game in both Dobbins and Weber. I mean, Gaskins is good, but he's one man. This is two men, Santiago. Washington's got a good receiver. One, Ohio State is a receiving core by committee in Campbell, Hill, McLaurin, and Dixon. That's four people I just named, Santiago.
That's a lot of people.
That being said, Ohio State, a lot of people. That being said, a lot of people is better than a few. And Ohio State wins this game.
Ohio State wins in Pasadena. Let's go to the Sugar Bowl. Let's go to Texas. New Orleans. Texas versus Georgia. Not bad of a game.
I think it's going to be a decent game. So Texas has been playing a lot better towards the end of the season. They rebounded from mistakes. However, they didn't rebound from mistakes they made in the Big 12 game, but championship game. But that's here we are. I think Georgia is going to come in playing pissed off because of the outcome of the SEC championship and being left out of the college football playoffs. And I think Georgia just has way too much talent to lose to Texas. I think Texas is going to give them a little bit of a match, you know, to start. But I think Georgia is going to wear them down and win big.
Georgia wins in New Orleans. The Red Box Bowl, Michigan State versus Oregon.
The Red Box Bowl.
That's a movie rental company, isn't it?
It is a movie rental company. It is. You know, I think that Oregon's going to have too much offense against a Michigan State who can't generate very much offense. So I think Oregon and Justin Herbert, who will be coming back, are going to win this game.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, of Herbert announcing him coming back, it feels like there's more momentum in Oregon's side. It feels like, you know, okay, he's back, we're glad. Let's just win this for Justin.
It's pretty big time, man. It's like John Cena saying, you know what, I'm coming back to WWE, I'm going to win the title. That's what's comparable to, Santiago.
That's what I was.
You can't see him. You can't see Justin Herbert, Santiago.
That's exactly how I feel. Cotton Bowl, Notre Dame versus Clemson. Will there be an upset?
I think that Notre Dame will make us believe there's going to be an upset, but I feel in the end Clemson's going to win this game.
Clemson goes to the championship again. I think like the last time they went was 2 years ago, right?
Yes, 2 years ago.
Let's go to the Orange Bowl.
Game I won't forget, but yes, 2 years ago.
In Miami, Oklahoma versus almighty Alabama.
Sing their praises, Santiago. Sing their praises.
I mean, they're having one heck of a season.
In your hometown.
I just can't see them losing any game like the rest of the season.
Well, you're like a lot of people right now who are basically saying this is a sure thing. I don't think this is going to be a sure thing. Man, this is going to be a battle to watch, one that the TV networks are going to benefit greatly from. The keys for Oklahoma mainly lay on their defense, man. They got two linebackers in Kenneth Murray and Caleb Kelly, who are really good leaders, and for the most part, they're decent. They're really good players. However, where they are failing is in the secondary. Parnell Motley, Trey Norwood, Trey Brown, that's three cornerbacks. And I'm not going to name the safeties because, I mean, you get the point. That's the weak link, man. They're ranked 130 out of 130 teams in the country, which they've been hearing this for a long time. And I think that's going to give them reason to go out there and play probably the best game they've played all season. What that means, I don't know. But I think that for Alabama, I think the defense, while it is very good, they're going to have the best test they've had this season. They have not played an offense like this. And playing against a dynamic player like Kyler Murray definitely concerns me. As we watched in the SEC championship, Georgia, with Jake Fromm at the helm, was able to shred the defense. And they were able to score a lot and put up some big numbers. Well, this offense Oklahoma's boasting, to me, is better than what Georgia has. Although I think Georgia has got the better running game, but I think as a whole, Oklahoma's better offensively. As I mentioned, man, the biggest concern for me when it comes to Oklahoma is, will Marquise Brown be able to go? Well, if he's able to go, what percentage will he be able to play, and what kind of factor will he play in this game? So I believe a lot of this pressure is going to fall, like I said earlier, on C-Lamb, Lee Morris, and their tight end. So they're going to have to carry their load. They're certainly capable in the running game. Kennedy Brooks and Trey Sermon are really good backs. I think they both have 1,000 yards apiece, so pretty good. Now, on the other side of the ball, well, Oklahoma's got some good receivers. Alabama has got several receivers. And that doesn't spell out to be a very good thing for this already struggling Oklahoma defense. Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs III, Irv Smith Jr., Devontae Smith, and then on occasion, Josh Jacobs out the backfield. That's a lot for this defense that is much maligned to take on. So I think that's going to be a significant factor against Oklahoma. But for Alabama, the biggest thing is up front, are we going to be able to get pressure on Kyler Murray? Mack Wilson and Deontay Thompson, Dylan Moses, Terrell Lewis need to guide that defense to making good decisions. But those leaders, mainly Mack Wilson, needs to make sure everybody is following their assignment. They need to be kicking people in the butt and getting them in line, because the slightest mistake against a Kyler Murray-led offense can spell a disaster.
Can Kyler Murray steal this from Alabama?
Can Kyler Murray steal this from Alabama? I think he's going to make us believe he can. I believe Oklahoma is going to get theirs. I'll be very surprised if they were held under 30 points.
So tell me the score line.
So what's all this leading up to, Santiago?
An Alabama win. I mean, it can't be anything else.
Well, and the thing is, you know, I think Oklahoma is very capable of winning this game.
Oklahoma's going to win this game.
Oklahoma, Santiago, is not going to win this game.
Oh, wow. That's really surprising. I can't believe you.
You know what? I'm done with you.
I'm going to choose Oklahoma to win this game. I think I'm going to be different for everyone else from the
sportscast.
Oklahoma's going to win by a field goal. I'm saying it.
You are trying to cause controversy. No.
That's what the sportscast is all about.
And we definitely have the cast for that.
We got to think different.
In all seriousness, man, in the back of my mind, I feel like Oklahoma's going to win this game. But I feel like Alabama somehow is going to find a way and win this game.
You know, it's funny you say that because it feels like it's going to be very similar to the Georgia game.
I believe so, too. The only thing is Georgia had a better defense.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But I'm not going to look past Oklahoma. You know, and the thing is, Oklahoma wants everybody to look past their defense. And, you know, Oklahoma wants everybody to buy into that hype, into all the negativity. That's what they're wanting us to buy into. So I feel like that defense is going to be ready.
We'll see what happens. Did you pick a score line yet? No, you haven't. What is your score line?
Oh, I haven't yet. 700 to 659.
That sounds good enough. So by what? 59
points?
No,
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Alabama 51. Oklahoma 45.
Oklahoma 45. Okay. 51 to 45. Someone else said the 50s, too. I think it was Ryan. So.
Oh, I didn't hear it yet, but yeah.
I'm going to choose Oklahoma. I'm going to choose Oklahoma's going to win, let's say, 49 to 38. By 3 points, 46. No one's picking that.
Yeah, I go.
No one's picking that.
You're breaking my heart. And if you're right, I'm not.
You can't leave the sports cast because you want to come back and talk about it.
I will. I'm gonna have a loser's rant if this happens. A whole sports cast dedicated to my belly aching.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to the NFL last weekend of the season. Let's go Cleveland at the Ravens.
Well, the Browns are playing much, much better. The Ravens have to win this game. If they win this game, they win their division. And then all assuredly will secure their position in the playoffs. So this is a very important game for the Ravens. I think their defense is too strong for the surging, fighting Mayfields. And I believe that they're going to win this game.
Ravens win in Baltimore. Eagles at the Skins.
Man, the Skins really have fallen off, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, they had a good start for the season, but it just fell off. I guess a lot of old players they signed.
Well, their biggest thing, man, is they just had everything go wrong that could go wrong. And they had people get hurt. Alex Smith went down. And their answer for that was craptacular. The Eagles, on the other hand, have been dealing with injuries as well to key positions. However, they are playing better as of late, and they're playing better with Nick Foles. And I've been thinking the entire season that the Eagles probably would do better if Foles allowed to take this as his team. So that being said, I think that Nick Foles is going to lead his team to a victory.
The Bears at the Vikings. Now, the Eagles can go to the playoffs if the Vikings lose and if the Bear wins.
And they will.
Okay. So you're saying the Vikings are going to lose.
Bears win.
Bears win in Minnesota. I think Chicago's playing for a seeding spot. They're in the playoffs, but I think there's a seeding opportunity if they win, but I'm not really positive. The Bengals at the Steelers.
Steelers win. I think that they are going to play – pretty ticked off after the disappointing loss to New Orleans, and they have something to prove, and it's time. So I like to think the Steelers are going to get it done.
And the game of the weekend in professional football, the Colts at the Titans, and we don't know if Mariota will be playing that night.
Man, this is the biggest game in what many look at as irrelevant week, because the teams who are a locked in spots really aren't going to give their best. A lot of their starters are going to be out. But this game right here is a playoff game for the two teams that are going head-to-head. Win and you're in. So, that being said, man, both teams are playing particularly well, but I think the Titans are playing a lot better, even though Mariota's out. Derrick Henry has picked up that offense upon his shoulders and has roared them to victories.
Huge, huge presence of Derrick Henry, your boy.
So as long as the Titans don't do anything to beat themselves, they will win this game.
The Titans? You're saying? Wow.
Yeah, Titans.
Not because of Derrick Henry.
No, no bias at all. No, I just think that as a team, they're playing together better as a team right now.
Anyways, the Titans. I'm picking the Colts. I think with Mariota not there, even though if he starts or not, they're not 100%, but we'll see if Derrick Henry will have to throw some footballs on Sunday.
Okay.
And random question.
Santiago.
Random question of the day. Should you go to work ill?
It depends on how much you're getting paid.
Oh, that's true.
Should you go to work ill? No. I believe if you're one of those people who are going to spread disease and sickness, I curse you. So stay home if you're sick.
And from the comments, is this a sports betting prediction show?
No, but if you want to donate generously to the funding of this great institution that we call the Sportscast and the future website that we will put up, then yes, it is. We will accept all donations.
And Bama Tide 16 says, roll Tide, roll.
Roll Tide, bud.
Justin, how can people reach you this weekend if Oklahoma loses or if Alabama wins or if Notre Dame wins? How can people reach you?
I love how you laid off if Oklahoma wins. You can reach me at 121Training, the number 12, one spelled out, training at gmail.com, Facebook.com/121Training, Instagram and Twitter at 121Training.
And that's your direct lines, right, of communication?
Absolutely.
Well, anyways, follow us on the Sportscast. Hit the subscription button. Hit the follow button on Periscope. On iTunes, please leave a rating and review. Also, hit the subscribe button. Big weekend in college sports, College Bowl series. This is not the last weekend for college sports because whoever wins this weekend in the Cotton Bowl and Orange Bowl goes to the national championship, which will be played in a week or in 2 weeks later?
2 weeks, I believe.
2 weeks later. So college football continues last weekend for the NFL. So really, really exciting times for football. We'll see what happens. Where does Tua do? Anyways, I appreciate you, Justin. And thanks for coming on to this
podcast. Appreciate you, man. Absolutely.